among young believers. There is an alarming statistic where 47% of young Christians believe that sharing their faith is offensive.
Hello, friend. We're glad you're here today to join us on Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. What does it take to be a missionary today? Well, it may take someone just like you, with the unique skills and abilities God gave you, to do your part in the Great Commission. And here's your host, Galcom's Tim Whitehead, to tell you more.
Thank you, Ron. Friend, do you attend church? And if you do, does your church get involved in missions? Do you educate the congregation about missions? Well, if you don't, Jeff McClendon is going to join us later in the program. He's from the Alliance for the Unreached. He's going to educate us all about unreached people groups, because at the end of this month is the International Day of the Unreached. We got a big full program for you. Bonnie Salas here with our Reset Devotional to kick everything off. So Bonnie, take it away.
A survey of teens around the world found that almost half had a perception of Jesus Christ as loving. None of them cited angry, but that's the Jesus we find in the second chapter of the Bible book of John. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. Jesus said that peacemakers were blessed, but the same Jesus made a whip from some ropes and cracked it over self-righteous people who were oppressing and preying on others in the temple of God. He flipped over tables, scattered coins, and drove out livestock being sold in God's house, saying, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a marketplace." Today, much of the church around the world looks like a marketplace. Many Christians have figured out how to monetize and capitalize on God's presence. Rather than using money to worship God, reach the unreached, and help the needy, much of the money in today's churches is about personal profit or getting rich. We can each ask ourselves, am I using money to share God's love with those in need? Are there tables in my life that I need to figuratively flip, realigning my values with those of Jesus? Jesus sat down and ate with unlikely people at many tables where no one expected to find him, but he also angrily flipped ones that were built on corruption and selfish gain, defiling the true purpose of God's house. Sometimes following Jesus means refusing to ignore corrupt systems that others are happy to ignore. There's a time and a place for righteous anger. Ask Jesus to guide you in these decisions so that you'll be filled with wisdom, love, and passion for God's house, just as he was. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To read, share, or hear this again, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, every couple weeks here on the Mission Compass, we look at an unreached people group. Per missiological terms, that's a group that's less than 2% Christian with no mature self-reproducing church. We get the information from the joshuaproject.net, who are a part of the Alliance for the Unreached. Galcom belongs to that as well. And hey, May 19th is the International Day for the Unreached. You want to get information, get your church involved. And we're going to be talking to the Alliance's executive director a little bit later in the program. But now, to talk about an unreached people group, Faye Watford, our communications team lead. As always, great to have you in the studio, Faye.
Great. Thanks, Tim.
So who are we learning about today?
Well, in honor of the upcoming Day for the Unreached, I thought, who could we profile today? So I decided to profile the group that are literally the least reached in all of Asia. So they have the fewest number of Christians among them, and I'll explain why later on. But that is the Maldivian people, and they live in the Maldives. You know, there's a big map on our boardroom wall. I always stare at this little string of islands called the Maldives. So they're in the Indian Ocean, and they're a string of coral islands. And they are far out. They're like about 750 kilometers southwest of India. And there's 2,000 of the islands, but only about 200 of them are inhabited. The Maldivians speak a language called Divehi, and the Divehi word atoll, which means a ring-like coral island, it's been adopted into the English language. This is a very remote place that we're talking about.
It makes you wonder, how do they even get out there? 750 kilometers.
Yeah.
From India, how do they find that place? Anyway, so that probably contributes to why there are so few Christians, this being so remote.
Actually, yep, that's probably one reason, but it's also to do with the laws of the nation of the Maldives. Since the adoption of the 2008 Constitution, Citizens and anyone who wishes to become a citizen are required by law to nominally follow Sunni Islam. So that makes the Maldives technically a 100% Muslim country. In theory, anyways. Tourists are free, of course, to have any faith that they want. But if you live there, you are by definition Muslim. And that's why they are technically the least reached people group. One study claimed that maybe 0.29% of the population is Christian. But Joshua Project actually puts it closer to 0%.
Incredible. Wow.
Another part of the law is that no one can legally marry a non-Muslim, and all the children are given Arab names. One of the requirements for each island chief is that they must be a qualified religious leader. But interesting, even though in name they are completely Muslim, it's really only a ritualistic tradition for most of the people. The children are taught to pronounce Arabic so they can recite the words of the Quran, but they don't know the meanings of the words. The people, they just blindly go through those rituals that are supposed to bring them salvation. For example, while fasting, the people will not only abstain from food, but drink, and they may even try to not swallow their own saliva.
So real severe legalism.
Yes.
Not understanding. You got the language barrier because, of course, the Quran and Arabic, but they're speaking the different language. Okay, so that's their religious beliefs. That's how they're so unreached. So what's the normal Maldivian, what's their average day like living on these beautiful tropical islands?
Yes, each island is quite autonomous and each island has its own chief. No one is allowed to leave or come onto the island without the chief's knowledge.
Oh.
And most of the Maldivians, by necessity, they're fishermen or they're merchants or boat builders. So they take advantage of their position, this position isolated out in the Indian Ocean, to be involved in the trade routes. But even though they do encounter people on the trade routes, they really haven't been influenced by the outside world very much. Tourism is changing that. There's some tourism on the islands and they're building hotels even on the unpopulated islands now. But most of the income from tourism just goes to a few of the wealthy families. There's this rigid class system that's in place there. And the divorce rate amongst the Maldivians is the highest of any United Nations country. The last statistics that I could find were from 1974, and there were 85 divorces for every 100 marriages. So it is not hard to find someone who's had 10 or more spouses in their lifetime. The families, by necessity from this, are loosely structured. The children live with their mothers. They don't get much support from the fathers. The marriages are not arranged, and they have very little ceremony. They're entered into very lightly.
That doesn't fit with my understanding of Islam.
No, it's interesting, isn't it?
So there are a lot of odd norms here in this culture. It's just really sad. So then, okay, so we got this rather simple life. You're fishing, you're making boats, you got tourism. Doesn't sound like there's a lot of technology industries going on, big manufacturing. So what can we do then to show the love of Christ? And we can go proclaim the gospel. How do we make a link to show love?
That's a good question, because they are quite a fearful people. Oh. Often Maldivians will actually run at the sight of strangers.
Not good for the tourism industry.
No, I'm sure that's changing with tourism, but it's like on the islands where there's not a lot of tourism. They have a fear of the evil eye, which is a curse caused by a fixed gaze.
Yes.
They fear evil spirits and they fear genies, which are, according to Muslim legend, spirits capable of assuming human or animal form and exercising supernatural influence over people. Most houses keep a lamp burning all night and they have no windows in them in order to keep out the genies. So with all this fear in their lives, they really need to know that peace and security can only be found through Christ. One big obstacle to evangelizing them is that there's no New Testament yet in the Dawahi language. Some Bible portions in the Jesus film are there, though. So we need increased prayer efforts to reach the Maldivians with the good news. We need to get those assets in place that we have things to reach them with. So maybe we'll pray for that.
Absolutely. Let's pray. And hey, good news on our end, we do radio work. So we
yes.
can reach across 750 kilometers of ocean with radio broadcasts. So we need content. And then we need to get some people getting involved there. And yeah, this is just an odd mixture of ancient and tribal and animistic and Islam and all sorts of stuff. So yeah, I think you said there, they need to be delivered from this fear. So let's pray now. Father, we just pray for this tiny little people group so isolated way out in the middle of the Indian Ocean. I pray, Lord, that we would be motivated by love, your love for them, It's so great that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for them. And so give us as Christians, as people interested in missions, the same love to reach out across this huge ocean divide, this huge cultural divide with your love and with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we pray for a miracle work of your Holy Spirit in people's lives, that they would accept you as Savior and Lord, even against their laws. Lord, what an oppression, what a difficult situation. So Lord, please work a miracle in the Maldives in Jesus' name.
And go look up the Maldives on a map and find this little string of islands, because it's an interesting little string. For more on these people and many other people groups, check out joshuaproject.net. There you can sign up to receive an email every day on an unreached people group. And Joshua Project also has an app that you can download to your phone.
Thank you, Faye.
Thanks.
Well, friend, every week here on the Mission Compass, we want to guide you, point you to serving God somewhere in the Great Commission. We get a lot of stories of people sharing their testimonies of serving. We try to do a lot of education, talking about every couple of weeks of unreached people group and what that means. And part of this is because we're part of a group called the Alliance for the Unreached, a group of mission agencies that really care about getting the gospel to the ends of the world, to people who never heard about Jesus. And the director of that organization joins us this week, Jeff McClendon. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time here on the Mission Compass.
Tim, it's a pleasure to be with you. And golly, thank you so much for being part of the Alliance for the Unreached. We appreciate that very much.
So maybe you better explain for all of us. You know what? I don't even know if I know the story. How did the Alliance start and kind of a couple of ministries that are part of it?
Well, you know, the Alliance began with an idea that was birthed back in 2015 by Wayne Peterson, who at the time was the head of Reach Beyond. And we happened to work at Bibles for the World just up the street. We're good friends with Wayne and some of his staff. And Wayne said, let me invite you to lunch. I have an idea I'd like to run by you. And we had a wonderful discussion about birthing something that was called the International Day for the Unreached. And we thought, how do we do this? How do we make this real? And our first idea, of course, was to enlist ministries that are really focused on the Great Commission and focused on reaching unreached peoples in particular. As you and your audience know, the unreached comprise about a third of the world's population. And that is a statistic that is really hard for us to swallow as believers, and particularly as people who are involved in Great Commission outreach. So we put together a coalition of organizations, ministries primarily, that are very, very interested in reaching unreached peoples and are using different kinds of strategies to do just that. And our first International Day for the Unreached took place in 2016. And since that time, it has grown and grown rather dramatically in terms of the number of ministries that are involved and the number of people that are involved because of the activities that we typically do around the International Day. And this year, the International Day for the Unreached is May 19. And the reason why I say this year is because it changes every year. We actually decided that the best day for the International Day for the Unreached was on Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost, of course, takes place in conjunction with Easter. Whenever Easter is, then Pentecost is later, and that is exactly what we're looking at this year. Pentecost is coming on May 19th. So that's what the International Day for the Unreached is all about and where it was birthed.
Yeah, and friends, just to give you some scope, when we talk about a third of the world being unreached, that's 2.6 billion people that don't have ready access to maybe another believer, a church, a Bible in their language. I think missiologically, I think the definition that we use in missiological terms is less than 2% Christian and no mature self-reproducing church.
That's correct.
So that's the people we're talking about. So you may have heard terms like the 1030 window, you know, this area, India, China, and so on, where most of those unreached people live. And that's the biggest populations, India and China. And so you can see these people don't have access. And so Jeff, you're doing great work mobilizing us together, networking us together as mission agencies to work together to accomplish that task. But now we need more people to help.
Absolutely. You know, one of the interesting things is, and I've been involved in missions for a very long time now, one of the things that I have heard repeatedly throughout my career is from individuals who support a variety of different ministries and so forth. And if they have had a frustration, it's they've voiced to me, why can't ministries work more closely together? Why do we always have to start a new ministry when somebody has an idea or somebody is prompted by God? Can't we work together? And that's one of the things that I love about the Alliance is that there's 60 plus different ministries that have banded together to make this the focus of our time, our attention, and to get the church in North America re-engaged in Great Commission work.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, getting people re-engaged. You have a great campaign. You call it A Third of Us. Explain A Third of Us and yes. Where people can learn more.
Well, the idea for A Third of Us came up as we tried to take the whole notion of Great Commission work out of missiological terms and put it into something that's a little bit easier for people to understand. You know, we know the number of people groups in the world, the number of those that are unreached, the number of those that are least reached, all kinds of different things. But to really wrap your heads around it, you said it earlier, a third of the world's population has no access to the Bible, has no access to believers in Christ, and there are no churches there that are Christian churches as well. So we always say a third of the world has no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ. And that's a way that's easy for people to grasp and easy for them to talk about. So A Third of Us is a campaign that we use primarily on social media to try and engage believers into the Great Commission enterprise here, get them involved in the Alliance, get them involved in understanding what unreached people are all about, and try to share this message through their social networks, through their personal networks, whether at church or at work or in their families and so forth. athirdofus.com is where you'll find the essentials of that message. And we have a number of tools that are available for people to be able to use to become social influencers for the cause of the unreached. And that's a page there on athirdofus.com/kit. And there's a nice little banner at the top of that webpage that says, be a social influencer. And you'll find that there's a lot of tools that are available free of charge for you to use to influence your own social networks in order to engage other people in the cause of unreached peoples.
And friends, if you're worried that this sounds, that sounds like a lot of work. Here's the thing. They got a great little brand, I guess is the best way to call it. Draw three lines on your hand or arm or something, two together and one a little bit off, and take out that selfie of you and post it with the hashtag #AThirdOfUs and start the dialogue. Go to athirdofus.com. You can learn more about some of these things that we're talking about, frontier groups and least reach and so on, so that when you put it on your social media page for free, three lines on your hand, that's cheap and easy, then you start the dialogue. So that's the entry point. But Jeff, on the Alliance for the Unreached website, there's kits for churches and so on. Walk us through some of that, because I want to get my church with a bulletin insert and in the announcement PowerPoint that goes on and all that kind of stuff. So explain what we got there.
AllianceForTheReached.org is the website for the Alliance for the Unreached, obviously. And we have a lot of information there, a lot more in terms of statistics, maps that show where unreached people are primarily found and so forth. And there are links to a number of different resources. You mentioned, Tim, the church kit that we have. And the church kit provides sermon notes, sermon outlines, and so forth, provides lots of graphics that can be used to help churches share the message of unreached people. And particularly, we'd like that to happen on Pentecost Sunday, on the International Day for the Unreached. It happens to be a Sunday. And we'd love for churches to be able to share this message and get the information out to their congregations. Here's one of the alarming statistics that we've discovered in recent years is really why we decided we had to put this thing together. The reality is that less than 40% of believers even know what the Great Commission is or could point to the scriptures that define the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18-20 is what we have commonly referred to as the Great Commission. And it's Jesus' last words to his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And that is what drives us as members of the Alliance. And we hope that that becomes very familiar to every believer in North America and around the world. So we've put resources together to help people understand what this is all about. That church kit, as I said, has sermon notes, has PowerPoints, has outlines, has graphics, even has videos that are available to help any church explain to its congregation what the cause of the unreached is and to get involved in it. Just some of the statistics that are, again, really hard, Tim. Like I said, less than 40% of believers even know what the Great Commission is. But here's something that's even more difficult. Among young believers, there is an alarming statistic where 47% of young Christians believe that sharing their faith is offensive.
Wow.
Now, when we start having that kind of faith crisis in our churches in North America, then that is really a daunting task for us to consider getting them even involved in the Great Commission. So again, our hope is to encourage people, first of all, know what the Great Commission is, why it was given, and what that task is all about. Second of all, get involved in doing that, praying for unreached peoples, praying that God would open doors of opportunity, because so many unreached people groups are behind barriers established by the dominant religions in their area or even by the governments in their area. And you mentioned earlier that, a great many of these people groups are located in places like India and China. Asia and Southeast Asia has the single largest number of unreached people groups in the entire world. And that's why we really need people to pray.
Yeah. And friends, don't be ashamed of your faith. God has done a wonderful work in your life. He's redeemed you, reconciled you to God. He's removed your shame and guilt, and he's given you eternal life. This is good news.
Absolutely.
It's not offensive to others, and we want to share. That's part of what we're trying to do here on the Mission Compass, encourage you to share that life-giving faith in Jesus Christ. So earlier on the program, you heard from another Alliance member, Bonnie Sala, with our Reset devotional, Guidelines as a Member of the Alliance. And I've mentioned this a number of times. They have a great tool on their website that is an assessment tool. Where do I fit in the Great Commission? I encourage you to go to guidelines.org, do the assessment tool. One of those roles is an advocate. Not someone that's going, but someone that's advocating. If you're an advocate, if you're an influencer, you need to get a hold of your pastor and say, look, we need to go on right now, pull out your phone, allianceforTheUnreached.org, hit resources, show your pastor what's available to mobilize your congregation in missions, awareness. And Jeff, you couldn't have said it, but we need to be praying. This needs to be a burden. This needs to be in the front of our mind. So friends, for you, athirdofus.com, get on social media, start raising awareness, make yourself educated about the need, and then go to the allianceforTheUnreached.org. Grab your pastor, the missions committee at your church. Maybe you are a pastor or on the missions committee. This is resources you need. Download the church kit. The International Day of the Unreached hits May 19th, Pentecost Sunday. There's no better way to celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and the message was preached, and people from different tribes and tongues and nations came to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we're celebrating.
Yes, thousands of them on that one day. That's what drives us. We want that spirit of Pentecost Sunday to imbue the church once again and get people involved, get them on their knees, get them really advocating to reach these last peoples who make up a third of the world's population. And yet they don't even know a Christian. They've never even met a Christian. They don't know the name of Jesus. And unfortunately, without that, we know that there is no hope for them.
Yeah. May 19th, Pentecost Sunday, International Day of the Unreached, allianceforTheUnreached.org, thirdofus.com. Jeff, thank you so much for your leadership in the organization, the network here at the Alliance for the Unreached, and for your leadership in the Day of the Unreached. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. Great to speak with you and great to speak with everyone listening. The best thing we can do is pray. And I have a wonderful quote here, if I can end with this. This is from a man named Samuel Chadwick. And Chadwick wrote, "Satan dreads nothing but prayer. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." And that is what's going to release the forces of the Holy Spirit to bring these least and last and lost into God's kingdom, we have to pray.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today. You've been listening to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. We really appreciate you joining us, and we would like to send you a special gift. Contact us to receive your free copy of our devotional, 30 Days of Faith. Visit galcom.org and click Mission Compass. Fill in your contact info, and we'll mail you your gift right away. If you enjoyed today's program, you can listen again at galcom.org or on your favorite streaming platform. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.